Windows down, music up. Get ready to hit the road in a new Chevy SUV or truck. Chevy is a name you know and trust. It's Chevy as American as apple pie and baseball. Check out the full line of Chevy vehicles at your local Chevy dealer. Chevy, drive Chicago.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications reopened last fall in a brand new location at 440 West Randolph, directly across from the Metra's Ogilvie Transportation Center, with exciting new exhibits including the evolution of late-night television, Johnny Carson the Centennial, 5 decades of the Loop Radio, and more. And it was recently announced that the Washington, D.C.-based Library of American Broadcasting Foundation will honor the museum with its prestigious Preservation Award this fall in New York City, recognizing the new chapter of our 44-year-old institution. I say our because, well, yes, I chair the Broadcast Museum. I'm running it, but I wanted to talk about it tonight, but I didn't want to talk to myself. So Justin Klovsek from the museum is here in studio. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I am great. So the museum has been on quite an adventure, and you've been involved with the museum for a very long time. How long would you say?
Over 20 years.
Say too long, were you?
I was going to say over 20 years. Okay. Probably something around there.
Yeah, I thought so. And responsible for bringing the Saturday Night Live experience to the museum, and by the way, almost 10 years ago.
I know.
Can you believe that?
It's crazy, and it's also crazy, though, because we're still talking with some of the same people.
Yeah.
To get exhibits.
Which is amazing that they're still there.
Yeah, to get different artifacts and things like that. So
it's pretty cool. But like that SNL exhibit, people still talk about it because I feel like we've been around for 44 years at that time, 34 years, whatever it was. But it put us on the map with a completely different generation, more people under the age of 60. I mean, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it was also one of those exhibits that the grandparents could come with the grandkids.
Yeah.
There was something in there for everybody. And I think actually what the museum is doing today, it's doing the same thing.
Very much like that. If you were watching Steve Allen back in the day, Jack Parr doing The Tonight Show, or Johnny Carson, or you're watching, your favorite was Letterman. I mean, I love Johnny Carson, but like my college days were David Letterman. And now there's a different generation watching Fallon, or if you're watching Real Time with Bill Maher, whatever it might be. And then there's a much younger generation that aren't really watching late night television. They are, and the only person that stands out that young people are watching is Fallon, and it's usually the next day on TikTok or Instagram, or TikTok as I always say to my kids, and they'll see a clip from a musical performance, a game he's playing for a few minutes, and they're done. That's all they needed. It's very different.
The way that late night is actually watched today is totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a generation that turns it on every night, watches it religiously, but again, talk to kind of that future, the future viewers, if you will. Yeah. They're the ones all saying, I just watch clips. I didn't even know it was on live.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's become very political too, because now you think about Johnny Carson, he used to have political guests on. I mean, he had from Ronald Reagan to Bill Clinton. I mean, he had a ton of different people on, but he never really, and he made fun of people. But he was an equal opportunity joke teller. It's very different today. Like, you will watch a show because you are a Democrat. You will watch a show because you are a Republican. But it's very split down the middle.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those pieces where you understand why there's this tug of war all the time versus from people within the administration, the broadcasters, what's happening, all these things. Can't we all just have some fun?
You know, it's funny. Our president said, I wish Johnny Carson would just come back. Well, he can't. He's dead. And that's why we were doing this exhibit, because he's 100 years. He would have been 100 years old last October, and we opened on his birthday. But I will tell you, I don't think I'd even at my age, I don't turn on late night TV. I know that Johnny Carson is on Antenna TV, and I'll watch that just because I'm a Carson geek. And I will watch Real Time with Bill Maher Saturday morning. Seriously, Saturday morning is when I'll catch it all from the night before.
The next few weeks, however, now next week, Stephen Colbert is actually off the air.
Yeah.
The show is dark. But then after that, it's going to probably be a good couple weeks.
It's a road to the end.
For his final episodes.
And we'll have something to announce down the road about that. Justin talking to CBS about something very cool coming up. as well. But this late night exhibit, we just thought it was a good time to, like, our timing could have not been any better. So we're telling the story of Johnny Carson, and probably one of the most photographed places is his desk, right?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. We have at the exhibit a full recreation of mm-hmm. his desk.
Yeah.
And the set, the couch. You can sit up. You can actually even open that cigarette box and you might see something in there. So.
Well, yeah, there are cigarettes in there for sure. but there's also his yearbooks. There's awards in there. We actually have something really cool, folks, that you have to see. It's a nose mold of Johnny. And the way that came in, it came in from a museum with no marking on it. So we didn't know what it was. And it was because when he would do characters and do masks like Carl Malden and so forth, they would start with his nose to create the mask on his face because he hated sitting there and being fitted for all this stuff. So, you know, we got outfits from, you know, we got one of Ed's suits. We got Doc's, one of his flashy outfits. Aunt Blabby, we've got her on display. And we also have Johnny's curtain, which also people love taking pictures in front of.
I think one of the really great things is walking around the exhibit with some people that really are Johnny Carson fanatics.
Yeah.
And they actually come out saying things like, I didn't know that about this, about Johnny. Yeah. I didn't know this. Or where the heck did you get the magic book? Or where did you get these yearbooks from?
Yeah.
And just kind of all of this really great content.
Well, we have a lot of high school field trips that happen throughout the week. And obviously those kids, some of them, born in the mid-2000s. So when they walk in, and we have some great, great staff members that were also, you know, born after Carson's era, but have learned a lot about it, and they're great tour guides. And, these kids, what we've done for them is we do a little overview on the stage. They explore, and then we give them a scavenger hunt. So they've got to find certain pieces of information. They've got to learn about the history a little bit. There's some things that we make them go on their phones and do because that's how we're enjoying entertainment today. So those field trips are a couple hours long, and these kids love it. And they love taking – my favorite is these younger kids who are taking pictures, you know, behind Jimmy Fallon or Stephen Colbert's desk, and they're like – not my parents. My grandparents would love this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, I think some of their parents would too. But then it's a late night exhibit, and you were a big part of that and putting that together. And still, I love the set pieces because each late night show always made a duplicate desk for when they went on the road. That's what we got, Colbert's desk. You know, we just opened up a new part of the exhibit that you'll talk about in a little bit. But one of my favorite pieces, besides getting some things out of my house and on display, is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Yeah, that was one that definitely Robert Smigel became a friend during the Saturday Night Live exhibit.
Yeah.
And so when we were going through, like, what kind of great artifacts can we find? I picked up the phone and I just said, Robert, I have a favor. Do you have an original Triumph doll? And he was like, yeah, of course I do. Sure. Why?
And what plays in the background is the Conan Wiener Circle episode right behind him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that he was, number one, he was so just like, of course you can have it.
Very kind.
Mm-hmm. But then the great part of the story is that when we actually had to do an insurance value, I said to him, I need a number here. And he goes, Justin, it's a plastic dog. I don't know, $50?
Yeah,
and I'm like, no. I'm like, there is absolutely no way we can't put $50 down. And so, of course, then he added a few zeros to it. It's funny he thinks it that way
because when we also asked him, like, you know, Triumph has a gold bow around his neck and a cigar in his mouth. And I said, well, do you want us to put him on gold underneath in the showcase? And he said, and it was an expletive, he's a blanking dog, put him on a newspaper.
Absolutely.
That's what he's on, yeah.
I also joked with when he agreed to it, I said, and we'll make sure it has he has a really good cigar. And he goes, no. Triumph only, he only smokes bad cigars.
Bad cigars and dropped a couple of times.
Yeah.
So they're a little dented up.
Yep.
But we just added, so it does tell the story from the 1950s. And I will say that, you know, this show called Broadway Open House gets a lot of credit for being one of the first late night talk shows or late night shows. But it was really a woman named Faye Emerson on CBS that did interviews, had music on her show, had guests. And it was on for a short period of time. But you can count on one hand how many women have hosted a late night talk show.
Yeah, and the fact that so many people claim that Joan Rivers was the first.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry, no, it actually happened in 1949, 1950 the first time.
That's right.
Again, CBS, and I think, didn't she also jump over to NBC for a bit?
Faye or Joan?
Faye.
I think she did do something at NBC because she was an actress and then became a talk. But back then, like Betty White said, that she used to do a morning show for 4 hours straight, and they had no blueprint for this. They just figured it out as they go, and that's what Faye Emerson did as well. And there's the Harry Carey's outfit from Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Which I thought he did more on SNL. He did not. He did it on the late night shows more than anything.
Did many cameos across from, and not just on NBC. Did it on Letterman.
Did it on
Kimmel. And also has done it many times on NBC. But really, it has been seen a lot on these late night shows. And that was one, of course, we had it during the SNL exhibit.
Yeah.
Talked to NBC and said, hey, it's Chicago. Any way we can get it back? And they were like, sure. As long as Will isn't hosting.
Yeah.
Because we will have to take it back.
You know what I just remembered? I bought some vintage Budweiser cans in my office. I have to stick them in the bottom of that. It's very necessary. We have an outfit from Paul Schaefer. We have part of the David Letterman set. There's also one of the Arsenio Hall jackets. We have Bill Clinton's saxophone from the Bill Clinton Foundation that he played
on
Arsenio Hall.
In 1992.
Yeah.
Very big moment for his campaign at the time because it really gave... It gave a whole new audience a look at who potentially could be president of the United States.
And there's some really cool stuff that, you know, we've got scripts from a lot of the shows or show rundowns or stage layouts for musicians. And it's really cool just to see some of the stuff that you will obviously never see anywhere else. And then a lot of current stuff, too, from not only the Conan, but from Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Yeah, they gave us, NBC was so kind, they gave us the actual, one of the, all of the tchotchkes that Seth has on his desk.
Yeah.
They kind of changed them out every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave us those. And then I think that they're actually even, there's a version that has the NBC 5 Chicago logo in there
cool.
as well.
So. That's cool. By the way, we are going to give away some tickets at the end of this half hour, and stay tuned for that. We'll tell you which callers we're going to take and the number to call and all that as well. What is also really cool is there's a new part of the exhibit that just opened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so we've been working with NBC for a while, asking them, hey, what can we get from Jimmy Fallon? And it took a while. I mean, I know, Dave, you and I, we were having conversations about this, and
I'm a very impatient
person. Back and forth. Yeah. Are they going to do something or not?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they presented this rendering, and it was of Jimmy Fallon's desk, two chairs, a backdrop, the Tonight Show logo in the back.
Backlit, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what does this mean? And they said, we are building this, and this is the desk that we use.
Rockefeller Center.
At 30 Rock.
Yeah, 30 Rock, yeah.
And they actually went ahead, created this, and then the desk is what Jimmy Fallon has used, not only for touring, but also
Detroit, COVID.
And during COVID, they actually used
LA
this.
I think LA too. Yeah.
Yeah. And they used the smaller desk during COVID when they didn't have an audience.
And so they said,
we're not doing guests. We just need the one desk.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And people are really loving being able to sit behind that desk, then also jumping over and sitting behind the Colbert desk. And then, like you said, also jumping into Johnny's old desk.
Yeah,
too.
It's cool. Museum of Broadcast Communications, 440 West Randolph, open Wednesdays through Sundays. Go to museum.tv. We'll give away some tickets. More with Justin Klovsek right after this on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Justin Klovsek from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, open Wednesday through Sundays for tickets and more. You can rent the space for parties, meetings, events, and more. Museum.tv is where you go. So that was the theme from Family Classics. This exhibit really just launched today because it's been gone from the museum for 10 years. Fraser Thomas on WGN TV hosted this movie showcase. as did, as the time went on, Roy Leonard did it for a little while, and then it was brought back in 2017 with Dean Richards. Steve Sanders hosted the show for a little bit, but it was sitting at GN because they literally, for the reboot, brought the old set back and did it from GNTV, but it's back at the museum now.
Yeah, it sat at 360 North State Street in the lobby for a while.
Mm. And it looks much better now.
And now, I mean, it looks beautiful.
It's glorious.
And it's where it should be.
Well, it's the books, the classic books. You know, Roy Brown and a couple other people also did all the book covers. It was an encyclopedia set that was covered in red leather and then drawn on top of it. It's very, very cool. But you can see that along with the 65 years of Bozo Circus exhibit. It's the 60th anniversary of I Dream of Jeannie. So you can take pictures inside the bottle. I'm burping. I apologize. And it's also the Loop exhibit.
Yeah, so I think something, people walk in and they see the Jeannie bottle. They see the inside, yeah. They see the Jeannie bottle sitting there. Yeah. They also see the Jim Beam bottle sitting there as well. And it's like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
The Radio Hall of Fame gallery. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, the Loop Radio exhibit is incredible as well.
There's lots to see. There's lots to see. 440 West Randolph Museum.tv. We're going to give two sets of tickets away to the Museum of Broadcast Communications. 312-981-7200. We'll take the third caller. We'll take the seventh caller. 312-981-7200. Got to come check this out. It's a piece of Chicago history and American history with the evolution of late night television, Johnny Carson, and more. Thanks, Justin, for being here.
Absolutely.